Welcome to Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church, where we worship God, make disciples of Jesus Christ, and serve our community and world. The following is a recorded message based on God's holy word. We would love to see you for our worship services on Sunday mornings. For more information, visit www.mattisav.org or call 217-355-5947. And may God bless you.
Highlight one announcement that I forgot to make. We exist as a community of believers, and we are seeking Jesus in community with one another. And so I want to remind you that the women are having a lunch this Thursday at Olive Garden at 11:30. I think that's for all ages, but you can see the details there in your bulletin. We're going to continue our journey through the book of Acts today. And the title given today's message is just that we would become people who expect the unexpected. A lot of you have probably heard the passage that we're focusing on this morning, at least every year at Pentecost, the moment that Jesus had told the apostles to be waiting for. The baptism and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit in a new way had finally arrived. And we know that in those days, I talked about this when I prot about a year ago, I believe, or maybe at Pentecost this year. The Jewish people had been scattered into lands far and wide, but those who could would return to Jerusalem for celebrations like Pentecost. Now, Pentecost was celebrated by the Jewish community on the 50th day after the second day of Passover. And the word in Hebrew was Shavuot, or the Festival of Weeks. It was a harvest festival, and that's, you can write it down if you want to read later. Leviticus chapter 23 talks about the Festival of Weeks. And in Jewish tradition, the Festival of Weeks also became associated with celebrating God's provision of the Torah, right? So overall, it's a celebration of God's provision. The fact that God provides the harvest, the fact that God provides the Torah, right? The living word. And overall, it's a celebration today of God's provision of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Spirit, our helper, the breath of God meant to stir us into new life and a new understanding of all God has done and continues to do. But before we jump into today's passage, I want you to think about the Holy Spirit for a moment. If someone was to ask you to describe the Holy Spirit in one word, what word comes to mind? Take a minute to think about a word, and then when you're ready, I want you to go ahead and share that word with the person next to you. Like, actually talk to them right now. Share one word that comes to mind. You're not writing a theological treatise, but what word comes to mind when you think about the Holy Spirit? Just one word, it's all you need, right? Okay, so I'd imagine for many of us, we would begin listing through the kinds of things that the Holy Spirit enables God's people to do. When we were in Hungary, I'm wearing my Hungarian tie this morning, okay? They're very proud of the blue dye, especially in the area that we lived in. When we lived in Hungary, I remember being frustrated while attempting to communicate to people in Hungarian. It's a little bit difficult to learn the language fluently. And so there were small moments like ordering at McDonald's or when talking to our turkey guy. We had a turkey guy because you couldn't just buy a turkey at the store, right? So I would stumble through and I would eventually arrive at being good enough in those kinds of conversations. But there were other times that I wanted so badly to be able to speak more fluently in order to share about Jesus, to share about my heart and why we were there in Hungary. There were times with Zsuzsika, the baker across the street, where I wanted to talk to her about the hope that God has as she was expecting a child soon. Or there were times where I was with Zsoltan, the car repair guy, talking just about life together and about community. And I wanted to share with him why church is more than just this place where you kind of go through the motions, where there's a community being formed, a people who are formed in the love of God, who are going out each week in that love to speak hope and to transform the world in the love of Jesus. And it was so hard sometimes because we know that God wants us to talk about these things. And we know that there are times in Scripture where He makes this possible by the power of His Spirit. And so there were times in Hungary where I would just say, okay, God, this is what You want to do, so do this. Right? Where I would just, come on, let me speak fluently Hungarian. How hard would that be for God? He never did it, okay? I still had to stumble through, and I hope that I can continue using it at some point in my life. And we've kept in touch, of course, with our friends in Hungary. But I want to ask you, where have you wanted the Holy Spirit to do something powerful in your life in the past? Or you are wanting even this week, possibly, showing up this morning, expectant and desiring for the Holy Spirit to do something powerful. Maybe there's times in your life where you wanted the healing power of the Holy Spirit to move, or the miraculous ability to translate foreign tongues, right? Some of you have come to this place from places all over the world, and language is difficult. Amen? So it would be so nice sometimes to have those gifts and the power of the Spirit. Maybe you wanted the power of God for understanding the future. I know there are a lot of us who would love to know that, whether for ourselves or for someone we love. Maybe you wanted a prophetic word that would speak precisely what God's heart desires for a given moment or a season. And all of this is to say, I think that sometimes we approach the Holy Spirit, especially given passages like the one we're reading this morning, and considering all the Holy Spirit enables the people of God to do. But for our purposes today, I want us to focus specifically on the person of the Holy Spirit as we read this passage. The person of the Holy Spirit. See, we regularly state that we believe in a triune God, that there's this mysterious truth from how God has revealed God's self throughout Scripture. In the Nicene Creed, we mention God the Father, God the Son, and then we confess we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, He is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. All right? Now, Jesus mentions in Acts 1, verse 8, that we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to be His witnesses. And our world builds so much of what we do on power, on seeking it, on keeping it, and on protecting it. So often when we hear about the power here and become focused on empowerment, we can miss out on the person. And focusing on the power of the Holy Spirit over the person of the Trinity causes us to seek a temporary tool instead of an eternal relationship. Focusing only on the power of the Holy Spirit over the person of the Trinity causes us to seek a temporary tool instead of an eternal relationship. In Scripture, the acts of power are always meant as a sign of a relationship that is now available. And so in our passage today, I want you to hold in your mind not empowerment as if all of these followers are leveling up in some sort of cosmic video game, gaining new abilities. I want you to listen to the description as God's people are entering into relationship with the Holy Spirit as a person, one person of the fullness of God. This is Acts chapter 2. When Pentecost day arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound from heaven, like the howling of a fierce wind, filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. they were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their native tongues. They were surprised and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all the people who are speaking Galileans, every one of them? How then can each of us hear them speaking in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, as well as residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the regions of Libya bordering Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the mighty works of God in our own languages." They were all surprised and bewildered. Some asked each other, "What does this mean?" Others jeered at them, saying, "They're full of new wine." Peter stood with the other 11 apostles. He raised his voice and declared, "Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully to my words. These people aren't drunk, as you suspect. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Rather, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness and the moon will be changed into blood before the great and spectacular day of the Lord comes. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Lord, would you open your word to our hearts and open our hearts to your word. Amen. Last month, when I was installed here to serve as the new lead pastor for this next season, Superintendent John Lane came for the installation service, and it was an important moment to pause and to be purposefully aware of what the pastoral office is and what it means that the denomination is giving their blessing to what God is doing here. And then I was installed as a local representation of the heart of the Free Methodist global movement. And there was a bit of ceremony and there were words spoken that reveal what is desired as we move forward together as a covenant community to become what God desires for all of us. And here in the moments of Acts chapter 2, we have a similar moment in the new chapter of God's people. Right, as humanity is brought into full relationship with the Holy Spirit, now received and abiding in us, God takes time to explain what this means by revealing what is now possible. And it's a bit like an installation service. As a new relationship is being offered and the presence of the triune God arrives in a new way by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. But any connection to my installation service is blown out of the water quickly as we realize the cosmic scope of what's happening here in these verses. See, in these moments, God is revealing what has changed as we are brought into new life by the arrival and the indwelling of the person of the Holy Spirit. In John 14, 16 through 18, Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will send another companion or comforter or advocate who will be with you forever. This companion is the Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive because it neither sees him nor recognizes him. You know him because he lives with you and will be in you." So who is this Holy Spirit? Now, obviously, we are created beings, right? It would be impossible for a painting to contemplate its painter. But God created us in his image, right? He brought us to life by his very breath. Everybody do that real quick. Breathe. Okay. Brought us to life by his breath. And he invites us into loving relationship with him in a powerful way. And I want to address one thing really quick, because we've used words already. We're going to keep using words to describe what we're talking about, and it's a bit relevant in our culture today. The English language, as we've said so far, as most languages to learn, is difficult. And it doesn't always operate the way other languages operate. We know that Jesus was a boy born in Bethlehem. He was the son of Mary and Joseph, the son of God. We know that Jesus spoke often of God the Father, but we also know that any human examples of fatherhood fall short of what Jesus means even by saying God the Father. Even still, because God reveals himself through these persons, we use the personal pronoun of the English language, he. Okay? Now, the person of the Holy Spirit is a bit different. Both Hebrew and Greek use what is called grammatical gender. Everybody say that, grammatical gender? Grammatical gender. That means that the gender of the word is not determined by its meaning, but by other things. For example, how many of you have studied Spanish or maybe speak Spanish? So, okay, you'll know this. Probably some of you better than I do. I took it 2 years in high school, okay? In Spanish, if a word ends in O, it often means the word is considered masculine. If a word ends in A, the word is often thought to be feminine. So el queso, which means the cheese, okay? The cheese is masculine. But la tortilla, which means, yeah, the tortilla, okay, is feminine. Okay, so the queso is masculine, the tortilla is feminine. In Hebrew, the Holy Spirit is often referred to through the feminine ruach, and in Greek, we usually have the gender-neutral term pneuma, which takes its gender from other nouns nearby. And before you get too afraid of where I'm going with this, I want to share a quote with you. This is from Bill Mounts. Bill Mounts writes, "The Bible teaches that all three members of the Godhead are persons, and that while God is more than the human categories of masculine and feminine, he is personal. The Holy Spirit is not a she or an it. He is a person." And we use the pronoun he most often because this Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. But more important than any gender is the foundation. This is a person of the triune God. Our God wants us to know him intimately. And he already knows us more intimately than we know ourselves. And so here are some things that I believe we learn about the person of the Holy Spirit just in our passage today. Number one, God's Spirit comes from heaven. In verse 2 of our passage, from heaven there came a sound. We talked a couple weeks ago about where heaven is in regards to the ascension of Jesus. Heaven is where God is. And here it is a source of what is arriving. Luke 24:49 tells us that the Holy Spirit is sent by Jesus and promised by the Father. The question for us this morning, as we look expectantly to the Holy Spirit, are we being attentive for God to respond from his presence? Or are we waiting for his help and his assistance to arrive from the sources and the systems of this world? Will we commit together to looking to the presence of God as the first place where the Spirit wants to arrive from? Number two, I believe that God's Spirit is revealed as an uncontrollable wind and yet also a purposeful fire. And there's a mystery here, right? Jesus talked about those born of the Spirit in John 3, verse 8. He says, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with those born of the Spirit," right? An uncontrollable wind. The wind arrives and it fills the entire space. The Spirit is all-encompassing, right? Arriving in ways and arriving in places where it fills our entire being. It fills all the space being offered to him. And the fire arrives also. But look at how differently the fire arrives. The fire arrives and it divides and rests. See, English is difficult. It rests on each of the believers, right? As tongues of fire, as if tongues of fire, the purifying Spirit of God is purposeful and personal. The Holy Spirit arrives completely, but it arrives personally. God knows how you need his presence to arrive this morning. And he sees you here as an individual, not just part of the crowd that gathers in his name. And he knows you and he wants to arrive in your life and for his purposes in your life. And finally, Luke tells us in this passage what it all represents, that all of them are filled with the Holy Spirit. Then number three, God's Spirit enables living according to his reality. The breath of God always brings new life. This is holiness. Abiding in the love of and living in the ways of God. And in the presence of God, all are united here as one. Right? Language is not a barrier. Anything that was a barrier previously is gone as they are united in the presence of God. This was obviously unexpected by those who were observing what was happening, as Luke describes them being bewildered and amazed and astonished, filled and being used by God for his purposes. They are being made holy. And this is his desire for our lives as well, that we would experience being so filled with his love and his Spirit that our purposes and our hearts are refined to reflect fully his own heart and his own desires and purposes. We talk about holiness a lot in our tradition and here in as a church. We believe that God wants not just to save us someday in the future, but desires that we would be made holy here and now. And that's not about becoming a perfect human being according to a lot of our standards. It's about being someone who is set aside for the purposes of God and reflecting his heart into our lives, into our communities, in his ways. What ways could the realities of God desire to arrive in your life, right? These next 21 days that begin tomorrow, there's a passage of scripture for each one of those days. These are scriptures that reveal the reality of God. Would you give God those moments each day to inform your reality with his more foundational reality and expect the unexpected in return? Number four, God's Spirit makes right what humanity has made wrong. See, there's confusion and bewilderment here as languages unexpectedly come together. And that same confusion we saw in Genesis chapter 11, verse 7, in the opposite direction, as God scatters the people into different languages due to their prideful ways at Babel. It was the natural response, right? As the people became prouder and prouder of themselves and what they could accomplish, God says, oh no, you're never going to pursue relationship if you don't realize who you actually are. And out of love for them, he scatters them so they will come to depend on God in new ways. And here we have that same confusion as their languages are brought low so that God can be brought high. Number five, God's Spirit brings glory to God and not the individual. There were people who were so used to prophets and priests and kings, individuals who represented God's reign and his rule. And even when Jesus was walking with them, there were arguments about which one of them would be recognized as the one closest to Jesus. And all of a sudden here, they were all speaking about the mighty acts of God. This being among the greatest and mightiest acts, right? As we're brought into a restored relationship with God. So here and now, the promises of Jeremiah were being fulfilled. Listen to these words from Jeremiah chapter 31. "This is the covenant that I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my instructions within them, and I will engrave them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. They will no longer need to teach each other to say, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wrongdoing and never again remember their sins." Brings glory to God. Number six, finally, God's Spirit brings fulfillment of God's promises. And Peter here quotes the prophet Joel, reminding them of the words they were now living out. They were seeing these words fulfilled in front of them. In Joel chapter 2, Joel was calling on a people who were experiencing the judgment of God to repent, to humble themselves, turning away from their own desires and toward God. And in Joel, he's prophesying that God will respond with rescue and with redemption. And then with these words, that his Spirit will be poured out on all people. Yes, even people precisely like you and like me, in ways that ripple out to impact all of creation, right? These words at the end of really big, dramatic, all of creation is responding, because this is something that cannot be missed. What God is doing cannot be missed. Scripture proclaims, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Right? That's 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3b. And John Wesley once wrote, every true Christian now receives the Holy Ghost as a paraclete or comforter promised by our Lord. This is something that is for all of us, not for those who know certain things or can pray the specific things. If you're drawing near to God, right, he wants to draw you near and to draw near to you. To expect the unexpected here, we understand that we are included in those that Joel is talking about as those who are able to receive the Spirit of God. We include those that we would normally overlook as those who have potential to be those who speak for God by the power of his Spirit. For some of us, God wants to put us a little bit in check this morning, right? Who are those that you have looked at this past week as if they could not speak from God for your life? But maybe there's some of us here this morning who don't realize God wants to speak through us because we've overlooked ourselves. To hear the words of Joel, to hear the words of Peter, to see the testimony of these believers that God's Spirit came and filled and through all were speaking. And to what end? Finally, we get to the end of our passage, and our final verse reveals the most important way that we expect the unexpected. I want to invite you, if I could put this last slide up, or not the last one, but this one, yeah. So often we finish this sentence, or we fill in this Mad Lib with all kinds of words or phrases. Everyone who is born into the right circumstances will be saved. Everyone who makes really good decisions will be saved. Everyone who achieves enough in Jesus' name will be saved. Everyone who lives a really, really good life. What is it in your life that you've been tempted to fill this blank with? What is it that you've looked at others and thought they need to do this or they need to say this? Or you've looked in the mirror and you think to yourself, I need to do this in order to receive what God is doing. Take a moment, if you're willing to. It doesn't have to be a lot of writing, but maybe a word, maybe a picture, something to represent some of the ways that we've misheard or misunderstood what God wants. But this next slide is most important. Instead, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Right? This is about a relationship with a God whose desire is to offer us his grace and his mercy. This is why we have an open table for communion this morning. There are no requirements of proving any sort of ability to come and receive from the table of God's grace. Do you desire the Holy Spirit? And maybe this is a really important question to offer, because there may be people this morning that you have heard about Jesus, you have thought about Jesus, you maybe even as a child have prayed certain prayers about Jesus coming into your heart, but today and this morning you're at a new place of understanding and you say, wow, God wants me to be a part of all he's doing for the world and for the cosmos. I can be used by God. I can be brought into relationship with God and this community in ways that transform everything. If that's you for the first time or for the millionth time this morning, do you desire the Holy Spirit, who is our living invitation into relationship here and now with the triune God? Because this is salvation. A lot of times we think about salvation as getting the ticket to go to heaven someday, and that is a wrong understanding. Salvation is eternal relationship with God. And it begins now. It begins here. It has begun for many of us. And it begins here at the table to come and receive from the gift that God has given us in Jesus Christ. Come and receive, but also come and be received by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to sing a song here as we prepare our hearts for communion. The song is "Come, Everyone Who Is Thirsty." And I want to open the altars even in preparation for communion. If you just want to have a time where you say, God, I confess in a new way this morning, I am thirsty for living water. I'm thirsty for the things of God in a way that I've never felt thirsty before, and I want to be made new. Here is living water. As we sing together, make it your prayer, make it your declaration. Come and pray if you need to as we prepare our hearts. Come be received by the Holy Spirit into right relationship with God. Let's sing together. Mm-hmm.